on that note, I love the Fiddler on the Roof. Does anybody, ever hear Fiddler on the Roof? Love it, love it. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest songs I've ever heard played on an instrument like that was Nearer My God to Thee. I don't know if you played that one, but that's one of those that just, man, tell you, very good. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for people who play instruments. They enhance the gathering. Amen. They really do. Good music. Good music. Well, if you have a Bible tonight, would you please turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, please, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. I was contemplating, I mentioned in Sunday school, I did Sunday school this morning. Well, I started Sunday school this morning. We never finished Sunday school, and I said I may finish it tonight. So I was contemplating whether I should finish Sunday school tonight, which in that case, I'm going to take a few moments to reiterate some things we talked about to bring those up to par who were not here in Sunday school. And then I had another message I was contemplating too. So I had two messages. In fact, if this one don't work, I'm going to do the other one right after. So no, I'm teasing. I usually threaten people. I say, look, if this don't work, I got a whole box of sermons outside and I'll make sure that I bring them in. And the only way I know that works is when people say amen. I know it's working. So usually I get a lot of amens. No, I'm teasing. But as Brother Bob prayed tonight, he said in the prayer, which, and I look for the Lord's leading on which way to go, what message to deal with, and he prayed that we might grow in the Lord. And that thought, because that's what we were talking about this morning, is growing in the Lord. And so I figured, you know what, I'm just going to continue what we taught in Sunday school. How many were here in Sunday school when I was teaching? Okay, good. So that's good because a lot were not. So that's good. I want to be able to give you some things we talked about. And then, because I have a three-point message, and we really only covered one point this morning. We just kind of, you know, got into some things. So, but I want to try to speak a little bit tonight. I want to talk to you about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. And Brother Meyer had it right. You know, we need to grow. Amen. In fact, because you're here tonight, I believe you want to grow. Amen. And this is the wonderful opportunities we have to grow. Would you please look with me at 2 Peter chapter number 3. There are three very applicable verses in the Bible that use the word grow. And what I did was I did a little search on growth and grow, and there's a lot of words that could be looked into that deal with the thought of growth, but I just wanted to limit it to the word grow in the New Testament, especially for us. And I have a three-point message I'd like to encourage you tonight about spiritual growth. I said it in Sunday school, and I'll say it again, that there is nobody who should be able to say, I don't need this message. If you think you don't need growth still, I don't care how long you've been saved. If you think you don't need growth, there's something wrong with you. Amen. Hey, listen, we all need growth. Amen. You could have been saved for the longest time, but everybody has room for growth. Amen. If Paul the Apostle, who I believe is a dynamite Christian, if he said, I've not arrived and I'm still, you know, moving forward and trying to grow, we all can grow. Amen. And so my prayer tonight is we'd be challenged to grow in the Lord. Amen. Look with me if you would. The first point that I want to focus on tonight is the fact that spiritual growth has a mandate. In the Bible, there's a mandate. God wants us to grow. God just don't want to save us. He wants us to live saved. Amen. You know, getting saved or becoming saved is a step, if you will. It's a step into the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But when you get saved, the Lord wants you to go from being just simply saved to growing to becoming a good Christian. Amen. You're not just going to become a good Christian because you got saved. You're going to become a good Christian because you did something with the salvation you got. Amen. And so I want you to note, if you would you look with me, please, in 2 Peter chapter number 3, and look at verse number 18. Here's a mandate for you and I to grow. Here's what Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There it is. It's a mandate for you and I that are saved. God wants us, yea, He commands us, to grow. Now, we could spend a long, long time speaking about two thoughts in this verse. There's basically two things he said you need to grow in. Number one, you need to grow in grace, he said. And then he also said you need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, when you get saved, the only thing you know about Jesus is that he's your Savior. I mean, somebody comes to you and they tell you what we call the gospel. Amen. They tell you about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They tell you how he died for you. He shed his precious blood for you. In fact, on the cross of Calvary, one of the last things that Jesus said before he gave up the ghost was, "It is finished." And then he gave up the ghost and died. And so we got to consider what was finished. What did he do on the cross that was finished? And the very simple thought of it all is, he paid our sin debt on the cross. Jesus Christ was not dying for his own sin because he had none. He was 100% perfect. Amen. He was our Lamb of God. He was our Savior. He was our substitute. In the Old Testament Jewish economy, God allowed the Jewish people to take animals and to sacrifice those animals. And they were a picture of the sacrifice to them, which was future to come, a picture of Jesus Christ. In fact, the animals they were to sacrifice were to be lambs and holy, if you will, without blemish. They had to somewhat picture the Holy Son of God. Amen. And so Jesus Christ was God's Son, born of a virgin, never sinned, went to Calvary, died for you and for me, took my place, took your place. And he said, "It is finished." By the way, "it is finished" is Aramaic. And here's what it means: paid in full. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for 100% of our sin. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but I know 100% is 100%. For somebody to say, "Jesus paid for most of your sins, now you got to go to church, get baptized, take communion, do this, do that to make the difference." If somebody pays 100% of something, there's no difference to be made. Amen. Bible doesn't say he paid most of it. He paid all of it. Jesus paid it all to him we owe. You see, what does that mean? That means it's for free. Amen. Salvation is free to you and me, but somebody paid for it. Amen. Jesus Christ paid for it. You and I get to know him when we first get saved. We know him as our Savior. But listen, we got opportunity to open up this Bible and to read about him and to learn from him and of him. Amen. And to get to know Jesus better. Amen. By the way, that's what helps make us better Christians. When you and I get to know him and get to love him. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," is what Jesus said. When we get to know him and love him, we don't want to hurt him. When we come to that temptation in our life that we know is going to grieve him or hurt him or offend him, because we know him so much, we don't want to hurt him, and we choose to do right most of the time. Amen? We got to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I don't want to focus on that. The first part of the verse says this. Look with me, if you would, one more time. In 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 18 one more time. But grow in what? Grace. We could spend, again, we could spend the rest of the message on growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which I don't want to do that. I want to talk about growing in grace. Listen, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this. "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You cannot get no more plain and no more simple of the fact that saving grace is something you don't earn. It's something that God gives you for free, for nothing. Amen? When you talk about a gift, it's the gift of God. When you talk about a gift, you have no price tag to a gift. If somebody gives you a gift and then not long after tells you this is what you owe for that, that's no longer a gift. Could you imagine having a birthday party, or somebody throws a birthday party, everybody bring gifts, and before they leave, they want the money for it? You would be insulted, wouldn't you? You'd say, "I thought it was a gift." Amen? Hey, listen, when God gave his son, he gave him as a free gift for you and I. Amen? And the day we get saved by a saving grace. Amen? The day that we all get saved, we step into the saving grace of God, the gift of salvation. Amen? But it is not God's will for us to simply step into saving grace and go nowhere and do nothing with it. God has more grace for us than saving grace. Let me put it to you this way if I can. Saving grace is for sinners. The day you got saved, you obviously recognized you were a sinner in need of salvation. Amen? You received and you accepted the saving grace of God. And once you're saved, you're always saved. Your name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. You can never lose your salvation because God will never stop loving you. When you become His child, when He owns you, you're His and His forever. Bible says in the book of Romans, nothing can separate you and me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? And all through the Bible, it speaks about that. It's wonderful. But God saved us right where we were, but He wants us to go further into this. Not only do I need to have saving grace, but I need to go into other graces that God has. You say, what kind of graces does God have? Well, let me just say this. In John 1:14, the Bible says this, that Jesus Christ became flesh. And John said this, we beheld His glory. He was full of grace and truth. But in John 1:16, just two verses later, it says that of His fullness have we received grace for grace. And that term, grace for grace, means grace on top of grace. What John was saying was Jesus was a full of grace. And He gave us grace on top of grace on top of grace. He's got more to give than just simply free salvation and eternal life. Amen? Amen. There's a grace of God. There is a help of God. That He wants to take us from just simply being saved to living the kind of life as Christians we ought to live. Amen? And by the way, let me just say this. Apart from saving grace, there's a sanctifying grace. The word sanctify means to clean up. God takes us where we are, and He wants to clean up our lives. Now, some of us, He's got to do a lot more cleaning. Amen? Oh, my. I'm sorry. I'm the only bad guy in here. When He saved me, He pulled me out of the mire, amen? He had a lot of cleaning to do, amen? Now thank God for those that weren't as dirty or weren't as damaged as me, amen? But the fact of the matter, God doesn't only want to save me, He wants to change me. To sanctify somebody is to change somebody. He wants to change me. His grace, He's got a grace to change me. In fact, let me quote it for you. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. But watch what this grace does. In verse number 12 it says, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The saving grace of God is one thing, but there's a sanctifying grace. God can help you and I to live the kind of life we ought to live in this world. Amen. Now the tough thing about that, we live in a very dirty world. We live in a very dirty world. Amen. And by the way, folks, it's getting dirtier. I'm going to take my coat off. We're warming up a little bit. I think I'm getting sunburned from the lights. Amen. I forgot to put my sunblock on my head. We live in a very dirty world, folks, do we not? I mean, listen, you can hardly watch TV without all kinds of filth just pouring out of it. You can hardly drive down the highways without seeing the filth that, by the way, in Europe is really bad. They say in Europe, regular TV is almost like X-rated over here. Very, very liberal. When you get rid of God out of things, you bring in all the garbage. That's just it. Somebody sang a song, an old Christian said song, about the public school system. We traded God for guards in the classrooms. And that's the truth. We got metal detectors where I come from in all the different high schools, and now they're even putting them in elementary schools because young people taking guns in the schools. Amen? We live it, but see what happens is they got rid of prayer, they got rid of the Bible, you get rid of God, you get rid of morality. You tell people they're animals, they came from nowhere, they're going from nowhere, if you will. They say, well, what do I have to fear? They don't understand that there's a God, there's a judge, that one day they're going to give an account of their life. Amen? That ought to produce a fear in the heart. If it doesn't even save, at least ought to keep some kind of sanctity. Amen? I remember growing up. In the city of Philadelphia, where I live, we have a lot of Catholic churches. Anybody come out of Catholicism, been saved out of Catholicism? We have a lot of Catholic churches. When I was a kid, we didn't even spit on the ground of the church. I don't know if you understand. And by the way, I wasn't saved. We just knew there was a steeple, there was a cross. It had something to do with righteousness and religion. We wouldn't even spit on the ground. Amen? But we are living in a day and we are living in an age where the world wants to get rid of God. When you get rid of God, man, that's where troubles all come in like a flood. They say before the public school system got rid of prayer in the Bible, some of the worst problems was chewing gum. I'd like to go back to that, wouldn't you? Amen? You get rid of, now they want to get rid of God out of the courthouses. They don't want no semblance of the commandments, the moral obligations that we have, not only to God, but to one another. The grace of God can help you and I to live a righteous life in an unrighteous world. In fact, Noah had that grace. You remember during Noah's day, man, everybody was wicked, and God even had to judge the world with a flood, but he said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was an upright man and a perfect man. He was different than the other people in his generation. He walked with God. Amen? Listen, apart from saving grace, there's a sanctifying grace. But not only is there a sanctifying grace, there's a serving grace. There's a grace that God has for you and I when he calls us to do something special for him. I don't care what it is. If God calls you to serve him in any capacity, let me say this, you need God's grace to do it. You need God's help to do it. Don't try to go at anything alone, especially when it comes to spiritual things, because there's a lot of opposition. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28, the Bible says, "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Amen? God don't only want us just to get saved by his grace. He wants us to get changed by his grace. He wants to be use us by his grace. Not only is that, I want you to note this, there's a suffering grace. There is a suffering grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, Paul the apostle said in verses 7 and 9, he said, "Listen, God has given me abundant revelations." Most of the New Testament was written by the apostle Paul. God directly, the Lord Jesus directly spoke to him many times about many things. And Paul said, "God has used me so much that he's allowed me to have a thorn in my flesh." Some kind of suffering, some kind of physical ailment that he said that would keep him humble and help him realize that he doesn't go get too puffed up, if you will. Paul said, "I went to the Lord and three times I asked the Lord to remove that physical ailment, that suffering. And the Lord said, 'No, I'm not going to move it because my strength and my grace will get you through your circumstances.'" When you and I go through physical ailments, when we go through physical suffering, there's a grace that God has for his people to help us to get through that time. Amen? There's a sanctifying grace, there's a serving grace, there's a suffering grace, and by the way, there's a singing grace. There's a grace that can give you a song at a time when you probably shouldn't be singing. Amen. Think about that. Listen, it's God who gives songs in the night. When we think about the term "in the night," it's a dark day, it's a dark time. Paul, if you will, is a great example of a man who suffered, and in fact, Acts chapter number 16 is a wonderful picture of what I'm talking about. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing with hymns and psalms in your heart, and with grace, making melodies to the Lord." Amen? In Acts chapter number 16, Paul and Silas were missionaries, and they were preaching the gospel all around to the Gentiles, and they got to Philippi, where they suffered much and were thrown in jail, and they were in the stocks, and they were hurting. But here's what it says. At midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises to God. In fact, they sang praises, an earthquake happened, the prison doors opened up, the guard that was watching them was going to kill himself. See, during the Roman time, a guard was responsible for the prisoner. If the prisoner escaped, that guard would have to receive whatever judgment they were going to get. So this prisoner, this prison guard, if you would, thought that they had escaped. He's about ready to kill himself because he knew he was done. And Paul said, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." And that Philippian jailer, he came to Paul and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He heard them singing after they had been persecuted. He heard them singing in a dark day, in a dark time, and it had to do something to his heart, amen? When the world looks at you and I that are saved and knows maybe some of the circumstances and situations we're going through and see a smile on our face and see maybe a joy in our heart, they're puzzled. How can you go through like this? And you have to tell them about the grace of God that's helping you through, amen? You see, apart from saving grace, there's a sanctifying grace, there's a serving grace, a suffering grace, a singing grace, there's a supplying grace. God is able, according to 2 Corinthians 9:8, He's able to make all grace abound toward us, to make us always sufficient to do whatever He's called us to do. Amen? So much grace. So much grace. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 15:10 said this, his testimony, I am what I am by the grace of God. When I think of saving grace, I think of the free gift that God gives to the sinner. When I think of all of these other kinds of graces, I think of what how God helps His own people through circumstances and situations. When you talk about the grace of God in reference to a Christian, you're talking about the help of God. What does Hebrews 4, verse number 16 say? Listen to this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, the throne of help. You know, a lot of Christians don't get help in all of their circumstances and situation. They don't go to Him when they need it. When I'm tempted to live wrong and to live like I should not live, it's at that time that I need to say, Lord, honestly, I want to do this. I want to say this. I want to react this way. Lord, help me. I'll tell you why I don't do that a lot of times. Because there are a lot of times I don't want help at that moment. When I want to give somebody a piece of my mind, which if I do, I probably won't have peace of mind. When I want to unjustly give somebody a piece of my mind and tell them what they can do and where they can go, and I'm in my flesh, I'm not necessarily saying, Lord, I don't want to do this. I need You to help me so I don't hurt them. Can I get a witness, or am I the only one like that? It's going to take straight up honesty with God and say, Lord, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to say. This is how I want to act. Lord, I know it's not right. Please help me. Do you think God's not going to help you if you come to Him sincerely like that at that moment? Amen. That's another reason why a lot of us don't get delivered at certain times and types of temptations, because we don't want to be. Can I get a witness? We want a miracle. We want the Lord to stop us miraculously. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, God has grace for you and I. Help. I was quoting Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Now watch this. That we might obtain mercy. And then this. We might find grace to... Anybody know that verse? Help. That we might go to Him. By the way, Jesus is alive right now. Amen. He's ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession, to listen to our prayers. He's alive every day, all day long. When you're alone, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, He's always alive, always available. And we can at any time come to Him and say, Lord, help me. Help me with this temptation, or Lord, help me to serve You, or Lord, help me in this suffering, or Lord, give me a song when I really shouldn't be singing. That's what we need to do. It's contact with the Lord on a daily basis. Amen? Let me put it to you this way. Those of you, by the way, who used to be Catholics, you understand this. One of the most important things that Catholic people want to do is they want to die in a state of what? Grace. That's the whole goal of a Catholic. They say, I hope I die in a state of grace, because I believe they think that dying in a so-called state of grace is, like, I guess, their way to heaven. But the fact of the matter is, you and I that are saved, we're always in a state of grace. We can never die outside of the state of grace. Once you get saved, the grace of God that saves you will never leave you. You will definitely die in a state of grace. Amen? My concern as a Christian is not to die in a state of grace. That's already covered. My concern as a Christian is to live my life in a state of grace. See, what does that mean? My goal is to live my life always having availability between me and God. He's always ready and willing to help me. I need to make sure I live in a place where He can help me. Amen. By the way, the songwriter put it this way. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Watch this. Nothing preventing the least of His. Anybody know it? Favor. You know what favor is? It's grace. That songwriter had it right. As a Christian, I need God's help, and I want to keep my life in a place where God can always help me. You say, what does that mean? That means this, and here's the honest truth. As Christians, we can put ourselves in a place where God won't help us. Amen. And if He does, we're going to feel the help. Yeah. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here. Many of you know the story of the prodigal son. He was in the father's house, and when he was, everything was fine. He wanted to take his journey. He wanted what belonged to him, the finances that were going to be inheriting to him. In fact, he wanted them prematurely. He said, give me what belongs to me now. Do you know that he wasn't supposed to get what was coming to him until his father died? Do you know what he was saying in essence? I kind of wish you were dead. Really, think about that. You're dead to me. Just give me what would come to me. And that prodigal son took the finances. In fact, the word prodigal means waster. See, that's what he was. He took all of his money and he went to live riotously. He spent his money on riotous living. And he spent it all, wasted it all. And all of a sudden, a famine came. He found himself as a Jew feeding pigs, which was detestable. You understand? And so what happened? The father is over here, still has plenty of money, still has plenty of everything, has everything that man needs. But the prodigal son is over here, and he's down on everything. He lost everything. He has nothing. Why didn't the father just send that help down there? In fact, the father would have sent it to him, he might have stayed there. Can I get a witness? He needed to get back in the good graces of his father. See, the father ain't going to help him out while he's living the way he's living. So that prodigal came to himself and he said this. He said, man, look at me. Look at me. I'm like living like an animal. He said, the servants at my father's house have it better than I have it. He said, here's what I'm going to do, man. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go back. I'm going to confess to him I was wrong. And I'm just going to say, I don't even want to be a son. Just make me a servant. That's good enough for me. And when he started his way back, the father, who was lovingly looking for him, saw him. And that father began to run toward him, grabbed him, kissed him, hugged him, brought him back. And he said this, get the best robe for my worst son. Wrap it around him, put a ring back on his finger, get shoes on his feet. What did the father do? He restored this young man. This young man wasted everything on purpose, living his own life, but he came back humbly, acknowledged, apologized, and all of the good graces of the father just began to pour out on him. Amen? That's what I want. Amen. I want to stay in the house. Yes, amen. By the way, there was a time I was the prodigal. See, I got saved as a young man. But as a teenager, I got away from the Lord. And started getting into all kinds of sin and filth. But I, like the prodigal son, came to my senses and I said, look at me. Life is wrecked and ruined, broke 3 discs in my back, inch away from breaking my spine on a stolen motorcycle. I didn't know if I was going to be paralyzed. They didn't know if I was going to be paralyzed. And I'm laying in bed, and the only way I can look is up. And I said, Lord, I know I'm saved. I know I trusted you as my Savior, but I know my alcoholism and all that I'm doing is not right. And I know that this situation is working on me. Lord, forgive me, help me. Please allow me to walk again. And I walk right. And I got back to the Father's house, and thank God I've been there ever since. Amen? We got to live in a state of grace. Now, we're in 2 Peter, right? Would you please turn back to 1 Peter chapter number 5? I just want you to see this. We need to live in His good graces, amen? Hey, that saving grace, forget about it. It's one and done. We already got it. We don't need that. We're talking about the grace to help in every situation, amen? The full effect of the help, I should say. Can I get a witness? Hey, there's a generic grace that comes down on everybody. Even unsaved people get God's blessing. The rain falls on them. The sun shines on them. Amen. They eat food. Amen. I want tailored blessings. Can I get a witness on that one? I want you to look with me, please, in 1 Peter chapter number 5. Listen, Peter, in this chapter, is speaking to saved people. He's not talking about saving grace. He's talking about God's help. Look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse number 5. He says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another. And what's he say? Be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud. But what does he do? To the humble. But he giveth what? Grace to the humble. God resisteth the proud. As Christians, we can be pridefully rebellious against God and his will. We only hurt ourselves. If we'll be humble, and if we'll submit to God, he's got grace for us. Grace that'll lift us up. Look at the next verse. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Let's live in his good graces. Amen. Number one, I want you to note this, and that was my largest point, so fear not over the next two. Number one, listen, spiritual growth has a mandate. We need to grow in grace, amen? But let me give you a second thought. We're in Peter, and we're nearby. Would you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, please? 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'm just going to touch on these two points right here. We need to grow in grace, is what we read, right? You know, when God makes a mandate, he always provides a means. God will never frustrate you and me and tell us to do something if he doesn't give us what we need to get it done. Amen? If God wants me to grow, then he's got to provide me what I need to grow. Now watch this. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. Would you look at verse number 2? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby. The Bible to new Christians is like a bottle of milk. Newborn babies want milk. In fact, they desire it. They cry for it. Amen? And the Lord said this, you are born again, and here's what you need to do. As newborn babes, you need to desire the milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. Listen, feeding on the Word of God is what's going to help you and I to grow as Christians. We don't quite understand all how it works. We just know this. Put the bottle in your mouth, take it in, and something's going to happen. Amen? Listen to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Amen? If you're a new Christian, I recommend to read the Gospels, especially, and just learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen? In fact, somebody said, if you need to be saved, go to the book of John. Look for salvation in the book of John. That's really, the whole emphasis on the book of John is believe. In fact, I recommend search the book of John because in it you'll find the door. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the door. Amen? That's how you get saved. But the fact of the matter is, you and I that have been saved for a while, we need to continue to feast on the Word of God. Amen? Feast on the Word of God. In Acts chapter number 20, don't turn there, verse number 32, Paul said this to the leadership of the Ephesian leaders, the Ephesian elders. He said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. That's growth, amen? This book right here can help us to grow, amen? By the way, the milk of the word is where we start. But we shouldn't stay on the milk only. Well, you know, the Bible refers to the milk of the Word, and what it really means by referring to the milk of the Word is the baby food in the Scriptures. Simple truths in the Scripture, amen? You pick up on all the simple truths that you can get out of the Word of God. That's milk. But let me tell you something, if you learn all the simple truths of the Word of God, all the simple truths of the Word, it's not going to be long before you're going to be saying, I need more. I need more than this baby stuff. I need some meat. Amen? In fact, you know how babies grow. They get on that bottle and before you know it, they want some food. Amen? And that's a good thing. It tells you they got a good appetite. They're growing. They want food. And when they get into the meat, now they're going to grow even more. Amen? We need to grow. A lot of Christians aren't growing. Watch this. Because they're not hungering. Listen, a bad appetite is unhealthy. One of the first things that people ask you when you go for surgeries or after surgeries, how's your appetite? There's an indication when your appetite's not right, there's an indication there's something wrong. But when you got a good appetite, it's like, okay, there's something good about that. Amen? Let me tell you something. We got a lot of Christians today whose appetites aren't good for the Word of God. growing up, as you know, and I'm sure you know now, when your mom is preparing you a meal, she'll try to tell you not too far in advance before dinner time, don't go spoiling your dinner eating what? Junk food. Can I get a witness on that one? You know, you come in hungry and you just, you know, she's making dinner. Just hang in there about 20 minutes. And he looks at the chocolate bar. He looks at the bag of Doritos. What's he want to do? He wants to fill up on junk food. And mom gets upset. She's working all day long trying to get some good to go. And amen? Let me tell you what happens to God's people a lot. We fill up on the junk of the world. We fill up on the junk of the world. And when we come to church, we got a bellyache. And we're not hungry. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb. What that means is when you got a full soul, even something good you don't want. Because you're full. Amen? And I'll tell you what, the devil's putting out a lot of garbage. By the way, it's Halloween night all the time with the devil, if you will, spiritually speaking. He's just handing out junk, 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 junk. Amen? Maintain a good appetite, amen? Listen, when it comes to growth, when it comes to spiritual growth, number one, there's a mandate. Number two, there's a means. God's word, get in it, stay in it, amen, and grow by it. But let me give you the third thought. Would you please turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. We're coming down, so hang in there, please. Don't leave me now, amen? Ephesians, if you would, chapter number 4. We need to grow. We need to grow. And we need God's word. We need to get in it. We need to hear it. We need to hear the teaching of it, the preaching of it. Amen. Because it'll help us. God will use it to help us to grow. So we have the mandate when it comes to growth. We have the means when it comes to growth. The third point I want to give you is Ephesians chapter number 4. And by the way, in the context is a great chapter, a great context about the local church. The Word of God is the primary means of growth, but the house of God is the primary place of growth. Amen? I want you to look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Would you look with me, please, in verse number, look at verse number 11. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11. And He gave, now this is referring to Jesus Christ, given gifted individuals to the church. And He gave some apostles and some prophets. These were the ones who laid the foundation of the church. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These are the ones who are building the church even today. And He gave these individuals, right? For what reason? Look at verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints. See that perfecting? That's growth. The whole purpose of God's church is for you and I to grow. He gave gifts to the church for our growth. Teachers and preachers, evangelists, bring the word and help us to grow. Amen? Watch us now. It goes on. For the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that's growth again, of the body of Christ. Look at verse number 13. By the way, I didn't give you the third point. Let me give it to you. We saw the mandate. We saw the means. Here's the measure of growth. The measure. He wants me to grow. He commands me to grow. He tells me to grow. He gives me the word of God and says, this is what you need to grow. Okay, we got all of that. Now, when do I know I'm grown? You'll never be full grown in this earth. But we can always grow more and more while we're going through, right? Now look at verse 13. Here's the measure. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of who? Christ. Can I tell you what He's saying in the simplest essence of these words? He gave gifted men to give the church the word of God that the church might grow to the measure of Christ. What is God's purpose? When He saved me, I was just a block, maybe a block of marble. But He began to work on this block of marble, chiseling away a lot of me. This bad thing He chisels away, this bad thing. And He's chiseling all these things away. In fact, He's doing it through the teaching. He's doing it through the preaching. I'm hearing what I should and what I should not do from the Word of God. And He's working on me. I'm making decisions to stop this and start that. And He's chiseling away. What is He trying to do? He's trying to take this block and chisel so much of me out of the way that all of a sudden I start to look like Christ. That's what He wants.
Why?
So when the world sees a chiseled man like me, they're seeing more of Christ than they are me. Amen? Same chapter, look at verse 15. If that verse wasn't convincing enough, look at verse number 15. These preachers are to speak the truth in love. Why? Get this. That may grow up into Him in all things which is head, even Christ. There it is. God is trying to make me more like Jesus Christ. Christ-likeness. Fruit of the Spirit. Amen? That's the measure. We'll never get there completely in this life. But I promise you, Romans 8:29, we are predestined. If you're saved, you're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We will be like Him when we see Him. 1 John chapter number 3, because we're going to see Him as He is. The psalmist in Psalm 17:15 said, I shall awake in His righteousness. I'm going to see Him. I'm going to be like Him. Christ-like. We're going to have glorified bodies that don't sin anymore. Amen? They're not even tempted anymore. We're going to be like Him. We're going to look like Him in great measure. His characteristics, if you will. Amen? His qualities. We'll perfectly be like Him then and there. But here we need to become more and more like Him as much as we can be. Amen? As much as we can be. And that's what growth is all about. Amen? Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3, in verses 20 and 21. He said, my conversation or my citizenship is in heaven. When you get saved, you become a citizen of heaven. Amen? He said, from whence also we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. If you're trying to live for Christ, you understand it's a struggle. Can I get a witness? It's a struggle. Because when you get saved, you still got the flesh. But yet you have God's Spirit inside. That's where the battle comes from. I got God's Spirit. I got God's Word. I know what to do, but my flesh wants to do this. And that's the struggle of the Christian life. And the more we give over to Him, the more we resemble Him in His characteristics. Amen? We'll never completely be totally Christ-like here and now, but we should be ever growing more and more toward that. Wouldn't it be nice to be so Christ-like that when He comes or when we go, it won't be such a drastic change? Amen? God help us to grow. Did you get the mandate? Do you understand the means? And then the measure. By the way, that's why I say that nobody in here should ever say, I don't think I need to grow. You'd actually be saying, I think I'm Christ-like enough. Amen? God help us to keep on growing. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your precious Word tonight. I thank You for saving grace. I'm so glad that there's nothing we have to do to save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. I'm so glad that in love You died for us and You paid our sin debt. And we can have that free saving grace. And I thank You for it. But Lord, I know it's not Your will for us just to be saved and that's it. You got a lot of grace that You want to give us to be a lot of things and to do a lot of things. And my prayer is that we as Your people would stay in touch with heaven, would fellowship with You, would abide in You, and would walk with You. And that we would not let the devil hinder us like the prodigal and get us away from You, Lord, to where You can't really bless us the way You want to. Oh, I pray our hearts tonight are challenged to be more like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this is my song. In the home and in the throng, be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here tonight. You say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not even sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I've even stepped into that saving grace. But hearing about that tonight has challenged my heart. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Anyone at all. Anyone at all. You're here tonight. You say, preacher, I am saved. I've stepped into saving grace. I've accepted Christ for free as my personal Savior. But I need to grow in grace. I need to become more Christ-like. I need to get more victories in my life. I need His help on a daily basis to become a better Christian. Preacher, that's me. Pray for me if you would. Keep me in your prayer. Amen. Amen. Hands all over. Amen. Brother Bob, would you please come? Let's keep our heads bowed as Brother Bob closes up.